This is RangerCast, episode 37, an unprecedented shakeup for number one Sentai Gojuger, recorded on Monday, November 10th, 2025. In this episode, Super Sentai enters its next chapter, a new LEGO set celebrates MMPR, and Disney signs on for a show that sounds very familiar. Welcome back to RangerCast. I am Tyler, better known as Readable Volto, and I got Josh with me.
Howdy, howdy, Boomer Sooner, Thunder up, everything sports ball.
And Greg.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
So, it's been a while since we recorded. A lot has happened, and as we sit here on Monday night, a lot continues to happen. There is some big drama in the world of Super Sentai, to the point that what was going to be our big story a week ago is just going to be starting off a news block now. An actor was dismissed from Gojuger. We are going to get to that later, but as the talk of the fandom. Now, starting off our news block, though, first off, how are you guys?
Tired. Very tired. I participated in a 24-hour board game marathon for charity here in the state I live in. We broke our record. We raised $15,000 in 24 hours. And for Power Rangers content, I ran the Heroes of the Grid scenario, Oops All Tommies, where everyone plays as a Tommy, and I made sure all the villains and main boss was something Tommy adjacent, so evil robot ranger, Tommy, Evil Green Ranger, and Draken, and I ran a scenario that happened to have Power Rangers working with the Transformers and the My Little Ponies in their crossover event with their boss being Snizzard. So, all in all, fun, just still recovering. I have learned after reaching the ripe old age of 30, I can't do 24-hour marathons.
What's up with you, Rick?
Well, just work and making sure everything in the home front stands good. Although a big thing that I've done recently is we grew our own pumpkins and made a pumpkin pie from absolute scratch.
Oh, rock on. Cool.
You are my hero.
I'm trying to run around like crazy between grad school and planning for my trip to Japan coming up in just under 2 weeks. It really, really sneaking up on me. I'm going there to see a couple jam project performances and also revisiting some places, seeing some new places, mostly staying around Tokyo and Yokohama. It's going to be a great time. And also I just found I have been cast as the new Goju Unicorn.
Congratulations. So that's why we're having this episode so late.
Wow. I guess their beauty standards have dropped, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I've got range, though, so I'm not worried.
Beautiful.
Which brings us to our first story. Super Sentai is over.
Well, not over. Over.
Not over, over. It is being rebranded. But yeah, the last Super Sentai series, as we know it, is number one Sentai Gojuger. Kind of ironic title now when you think about it. But that made the news in October by reported by Kyoto Oricon. Like, it leaked into the national media. It wouldn't be the last Sentai story to break containment like that. But we will get to that, like I said. The show recently celebrated its 50th anniversary. Obviously, Gojuger is an anniversary show. Reportedly, profits from events, merchandise, etc. have not been enough to justify continuing to make the show. So it's a bit of a shock, and netizens in Japan and elsewhere reacted to it, but apparently, according to a Thai licensor, the name of the series, at least as far as Thailand is concerned, is going to be a Universe Heroes, which is very catchy. But there is some truth to the fact that they aren't making a whole lot of money. According to financials from Bandai Namco Group, it lags far behind similarly situated shows in terms of toy revenue. According to a recent financial report in the third quarter of the 2025 fiscal year, which ended on March 31st, Super Sentai pulled down $9.86 million U.S. dollars in worldwide revenue. That's compared to Kamen Rider, which brought $4.7 billion in toy revenue and lags far behind Bandai's real cash cows, which are Gundam, Dragon Ball, One Piece. But yeah, it's not great.
Here's my two questions. My first one is this really like the toy sales lagging? That seems like I'm not going to say an excuse because that's not.
Explained that the toy sales are lagging.
No. Is that less of a franchise problem, or is that more of that's just the state of the world, and that's been a problem for many toy companies for years now?
Well, I mean, this is like apples to apples among Bandai Namco's properties. You look at what they're making off Sentai, then you see like what they're making off Anpanman, Naruto, Ultraman. Sentai is not pulling its weight in that regard, and it isn't a cheap show to make. And just as here, the toys are what pay the bills.
Sure.
Go ahead. Tell me if I'm wrong here. Naruto, Dragon Ball, Gundam, they have more of a worldwide appeal.
My math actually may have been wrong because I was misreading the chart in terms of what that translates to in U.S. dollars, but my point still stands, yes?
So, Gundam, Naruto, they all have worldwide appeal. You're going to go to any con, you're going to go out and about, and you're going to see people wearing a Naruto hoodie or something.
Yeah.
How often do you see someone in America wearing a Super Sentai?
Super Sentai?
Sentai is definitely more local to Japan and East Asia as a whole.
Well, I think to your point, these numbers used to factor in Power Ranger sales include wrapped up in the Super Sentai number, but Bandai doesn't make those toys anymore.
Which that does make sense if it's saying the toy. If you're combining Power Rangers with that, that does make sense.
But even within Japan, these are just like strictly speaking things in the toy and hobby sector worldwide. That's what they're pulling down. Now, Bandai America does own the One Piece toy rights in America, but to an extent, but still like most of this money that is being reported is within Japan specifically.
I mean, I agree with the point though, that even if you're including, like Power Rangers in it, Naruto and Dragon Ball are borderline, if not outright, cultural significance. And I wouldn't say that's, I don't even think that's a fair comparison for Sentai because it's not. But I mean, I get both sides of it, if that makes sense. My other one is it fair that we're comparing, Sentai with Kamen Rider? Because from my understanding from friends who live in Japan, Sentai is still seen as a little kid show, while Kamen Rider is seen as a young adult show, which that it definitely will vary on like your audience, on like who's gonna buy stuff.
Anpanman is a little kid show too. Pretty Cure is a little kid show too. And those made more money than Sentai.
If that's the case, then it could just be changing times then at this point, and that it could be not Sentai's fault, but maybe it's this time that it's moving on and needs something to kind of revitalize it in the sense of what they're doing now with Universe Heroes or what Power Rangers did with the comic.
We'll see what they, you know, pull off. All we know at this point in terms of what this means for Power Rangers is absolutely nothing. The show that is being filmed in London is still being filmed in London. And hopefully we'll hear more about that soon. Moving on, Shout Factory, our old friends at Shout Factory, have transitioned their storefront to the site groove.com, GRUV.com. They have discontinued their standalone site. People were really concerned when they were throwing closeout style sales on their website. But according to a post on Groove's website, while Shout Factory has discontinued standalone site, the fun continues on Groove. We've built a dedicated Shout Factory hub where you'll discover fresh releases, exclusive promotions, and handpicked collections on one convenient location. Now, they, of course, have released a bunch of Power Rangers Sentai stuff. The two movies that they sublicensed from 20th Century Studios are out of print, but they are likely going to have nearly everything else you're looking for from the stuff they've licensed, along with all sorts of Hong Kong films, Ghibli films, old TV shows, all that. So it's good to know that there still will be a storefront. I know there's been some changes at Shout Factory with the merger, with Radial, and all that stuff going on.
Coming from the My Little Pony fandom here, we've seen this writing on the wall for a long time. My Little Pony, and I know that's not what we're talking about here, but still relevant.
You're going to make me worse.
You said the thing. We've known about this for a little while because My Little Pony Friendship is Magic had 9 seasons, okay? And we never got season 8 and 9, and we never got a collected box set. So I'm surprised it took this long, but I'm not surprised if that makes sense. It's sad.
I'm not sure this has anything to do with the releases. This is just how they're being sold.
Well, we knew that because they also said they weren't making any more like DVDs at that point. It was a get it now or there's not going to be reprints unless a lot of people like rando buy it all of a sudden. So again, it's kind of it's been in the works, but it's just taken 10 years to get to this point. But we've all kind of suspected that.
So tell me, you know, if I'm wrong, they're still going to sell everything and make everything. They just outsource the storefront to these new guys, Groove or Grove.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
So in other news, fans have been submitting to LEGO Ideas for years the idea of a Power Rangers set. On October 31st, LEGO actually relented and they announced that there would be a Megazord set released sometime in the future. The set was designed by Truman Bricks. It includes the Megazord and the Core 5 Rangers. It looks great. The prototype looks great. I don't know anything yet about cost, but the video, I'm sold, even if I'm not normally a LEGO person.
They're saying it's probably suspected about $300.
Dang.
Oh, I was about to say shut up and take my money, but now that's a wait a
well,
minute.
Well, the last time,
The reason why it is because the Megazord can combine. That is pretty much what they said. Didn't, it'd be very decreased, but it's going to be like a 1,200 piece set. That's a lot.
Yeah, the individual Zords look great, and yeah, you're right. This is a lot of pieces. Last time around, it got some 700,000 supporters. This time it got more than 10,000 supporters over the several months that it was submitted. So they're working with the designer to turn it into a proper set. And I want to say that I would buy it, but I don't know where I would put it. And this is like a common problem for me. I'll buy these things and not know what I'm going to do with them.
That's a problem you have later. That's a future.
Yeah, that's a tomorrow problem. Tyler problem.
Exactly.
I'm going to come back from Japan with like all this stuff and it's just going to sit somewhere.
Hey, look, if you don't have anything to do with it, I'll take it off your hands. Don't worry about it.
Same. So do what my friend does. Legos is his hobby. He has like the Titanic, Hogwarts, the Death Star. Just do that. Excuse me. Just have a bookshelf. There you go. Problem solved. Yeah. Something to keep in mind with the Lego set, though, is this is the second time that same person did submit it, and it's taken 10 years to get this set. I know some of that could be due to Saban from before saying no. I know the last one was very popular. Maybe there was renewed interest due to them submitting the Megazord. There was a lot that was submitted for the Megazord several times, and Bandora's castle, a.k.a. Rita's HQ, but it's very, very, I liked his original design a little bit more, but there is going to be some fine tuning. But for Legos, for $300 to get the Megazord, the Core 5, in my opinion, this is almost says, yep, you're going to get the Dragonzord at some point, and yes, you're probably going to get Titanus. But for everyone else that's about to say stuff, no, you're not getting other seasons, guys. You might get the Tiger Zord, and that's it.
Well, like the devil's advocate, though, how many people were paying that money to begin with?
For the original core set, I think a lot.
Set that is being, offered or going to be offered theoretically by Lego.
Enough to get Dragonzord.
If you say so.
Go ahead. I've been talking about it.
I'm going to side with you on this one. I think there's enough to get the Dragonzord. Maybe Titanus, but anything after that, as cool as it would be to mix and match and make your own Megazord out of whatever you happen to have, I don't think that's going to happen.
Correct. I think it's going to be something of a... Obviously, we're going to get a... what's it called? We'll get a Dragonzord that would combine with the others, because that's easy to do. And I could even go as far to say they would have a Tigerzord with Lord Zedd included in it, and call it a day. I don't believe any other one would ever get any Lego attention because it wouldn't sell at that point. Again, Mighty Morphin, it sells whether people like it or not.
All right, and some other release news. Discotech is continuing their streak of releasing Metal Hero shows. In December, they are putting Special Rescue XC Draft on Standard Def Blu-ray. Here is the synopsis from them. Deep within the darkest corners of Tokyo, the scourge of high-tech crime continues its uncontrollable evolution, but not for long. The city's best and brightest have been assembled to form an experimental rescue unit, Special Rescue XC Draft, led by the cool-headed Captain Kano. This three-man team dashes headfirst into danger to save lives. High-speed chases, collapsing buildings, gravity guns. These boys have just the truck of cutting-edge tools and armor to handle any emergency. So who needs rescuing? The Metal Heroes shift into Turbo for the thrilling final chapter in the Rescue Police series. The collection includes all 49 episodes, presented in standard def with original Japanese language and English subtitles. No special features. There usually aren't on these releases. But the show was released in 1992, ran until January 1993. It's not a show that I'm super familiar with personally, but I'm going to get it on principle. Behind the scenes, the show included the work of writers like Junichi Miyashita and the work of actor directors like Jun Murakami. This is a I'm going to get it. I don't know about y'all, but it's probably going to cost like $50, but that's whatever. What's money anyway?
You'll have to tell me how it is.
Yeah. And something that we may or may not ever see, the Ninja Kids series, which Playmates touted when they took over the, or sub-licensed the toy rights. There was a trailer that was put online, and it was lambasted by fans and quickly taken offline. This is a series ostensibly targeted slightly younger demo. But the trailer had a bunch of AI in it. Did you guys get to see the trailer before it was taken down?
Yes, I have many thoughts.
It used Tokujae's suits, but Tokujae did not know that their designs would be used as part of this AI slop in regards to how the animations were done vis-a-vis Goldar and Lord Zedd, who's actually more of a Zictor situation where he has a human form, all that. It's rough. And people involved in it were really defensive about the use of AI, saying that not using AI would have made it too expensive. But, you know, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers did what they did, you know, in a cave with a box of scraps. So what's, you know, you don't need to use AI. But word on the street is the reason that was pulled had more to do with implicating the rights to the show, per se, which Playmates does not have. And, you know, Hasbro is working with 20th Television to make a show for Disney Plus, as we hinted at earlier in this episode.
I've been talking a lot, so I was going to say, Uma, do you want to go first? Do you want to say, because I have many thoughts, but it could turn into a rant.
I have thoughts, and it's going to be a bit of an off-topic bit of a rant, but I'm just going to roll with it, and we'll see where we end up. Back in the day, back in the late 2000s, early 2010s, I was part of an eFed. We didn't have AI back then. All we had were bad capture cards and essentially camera tricks on the WWE games back in the day. And we made great things on essentially a ham sandwich and a processor that was from 2009.
We was made it also a half-eaten bubblegum and a paperclip? Did you at least have that?
Well, no, the router was running on a paperclip, though, because we were all broke.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's like, once AI get, everybody got lazy. Nobody knows how to make their tools work as they should anymore. Or make their tools squeeze a little bit more out of their tools. I'm not saying there isn't a place for AI. I'm saying it's being used as a first option far too often. And that's my whole rant.
Wow, that I was expecting a much more bigger rant. I'm disappointed.
I mean, give me some time. Give me some time and some beer, and we'll figure it out.
Sure. Okay, so this is my take on it. First, I agree with you. AI has a place. I don't think AI is this demonic thing that it has been made out to be. I say this as it is a tool. I've seen stuff where they've mentioned like AI finding, like, for example, what was the story for it? That basically, women who had breast cancer, like stuff for like years, like genes and stuff for it, and have a history, they were finding stuff 10 years before based on trends and based on some DNA stuff. That is what AI should be used for. And it's been fantastic. Like they said, this is a basically Nobel Peace or Nobel Scientific Achievement type of level. But that's not what they're using it for. So I'm going to be the one to be blunt and say, I don't think this has anything to do with the, with Hasbro making another show. I think what it turned out to be was there was a lot of details that were not mentioned, such as the use of AI, and that Ninja Kids released this as something like kind of to get people hyped, like, oh, air quote, we leaked it. And then everyone was, because look, I would be wrong if I said that I didn't think they had some good ideas. There was some stuff that I did question, like design wise, like Rita, like they're going more for the war Rita from the comics, which is sexy Rita. And it's like, okay, sure for it. And some of the Megazord cockpits, I thought they really cheaped out on it, but I was like, hey, if they're going with Toku's, designs, hey, I get it. You're cheapening out somewhere. It is what it is. But instead of that, I think what happened was they shadow dropped it thinking, oh, we'll do an official release of something, start giving you like actual video dates and everything. And then everyone discovered it was just complete AI slop from it, from the Lord Zed, not transformation, to the Blue Ranger having six fingers and his morphing. Mm-hmm. Like, they tried to defend it, and it was an abysmal failure for it. And I believe they made Hasbro upset about that, and that's why it got canceled. I really do believe it got canceled. And I think them doubling down on it goes against the entire reason the writer's strike happened. It goes against the entire reason the original Core 3 left for union rights for this. Like,
they're Utah. They're not, you know, Utah's like a right to work state, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. There's so many states that are. I don't know. The point I'm getting at is I think that their excuses of the doubling down on it and not actually like not understanding why people have fought for this, and then being even more obtuse about it and saying like, oh, this is the direction it's going, guys, when this is not really true, that this is not the direction it's going, is very tone deaf and very much a slap in the face to many of the actors. Like, look, Once and Always even was a union show. Yes, did it take a while and there's still like lots and lots of work? Yes, there is lots to be done to make sure a show going forward like this has work. But it's a slap in the face, and it's like, dudes, do you not understand the history of like the franchise you're working with? Because clearly you don't. And the issue I have with it is, let's even say that they used AI to I'm not gonna say cut corners, but dudes, this isn't a fan project. This isn't somebody from like Patreon. This isn't even something like Bat in the Sun, where it's like we just kind of hope for the best for something. They make like $20 to $30 million a year. Like, no, guys, you don't get to use the excuse of we get to cheap it out on stuff. No, guys, you have the money for it. There was a lot of problems with this, and I'll be upfront. Like I said, there was stuff that I did genuinely like. I liked the trailer when I first saw it. And then people pointed out the AI because I wasn't looking for the AI stuff and went, oh, that this is AI slop. This is a we filmed and then wanted to cut corners everywhere else. So I think this was inevitable. This was going to happen. And congrats. They lost a lot of money probably making this. And do I think they have passion for it? Do I think that they have a genuine interest in it? Sure, that it continues what they did before. But they lost all fan contribution when it became AI slop. And it wasn't just, oh, we did this to enhance stuff. We made mistakes and just lost it in editing. No, this was we tried to cut corners and save ourselves a lot of money. And guess what? It looks bad in many respects in that respect for it. And who knows? Maybe they did film stuff. We're never going to see the light of day of it, probably, because we were told we were getting a trailer, an actual, like, official release in October, and it is November 10th of this recording, and there's nothing. I think it's dead. I think it's dead in the water. I also think it's dead because my guess would be, and I'm just guessing, I think Toku J doesn't want his designs used, that this was not part of his contract, and I think that is going to be very dependent on him for that.
Toku J didn't say anything to that effect.
Again, he said it was all speculation, but I can see like my work being used as something that just happened and being like, you know what, I want to wash my hands of this. Save my own face.
Well, it may have not been clear in the contract as the direction I'm going with, and
right, exactly.
That the AI stuff with it, like, beyond what it was, and he wants nothing to do with it, which means they can't air it. They would have to refilm every single little thing for that. And like I said, I understand some of it is cheaper because of who they are. I get that. Like, the putties, for example. Like, I was happy to see the Z putties again. Yeah, they looked a little cheaper, but not at the cost of AI. It's like, dudes, you shouldn't have made this in the first place. How did you? It's completely tone deaf, and it looked, in that respect at that point, them trying to get a cheap buck. That's my vent on it. But go ahead. I interrupted you.
There's a charm to, like, watching something made cheaply but with passion. You know what I mean? There's
Yes,
enjoyment in that. And why can't everybody wants their stuff to look super polished and super like nice and investor worthy. Now, give me some of the rough edges. Give me some of the stuff that looks so goofy it's bad but still fun.
Correct. And it's exactly what everyone has said. Like, look, if this was a passion project, like, and this was made by, again, quoting the, we made this in a cave with a box of scraps from earlier, people would get it, and there would not be backlash, and be like, hey guys, we're on such a tight budget, we used AI to make explosions. Is anyone going to care? No.
Nah.
No one's going to care on that. Is this, though, we used AI to really cheapen out on a lot of stuff? Yes, and there's a lot of problems with that. And it sucks, because I do believe that they did have a passion for it. At the same time, I also think they didn't, because they were willing to do that, and them trying to really justify it really just made people more angry as time kept going on from it.
The doubling down definitely did them.
Oh, 1,000%. Like, Power Ranger fans are crazy, just like Pokemon fans.
And there's a lot of overlap.
There is. Tyler, what is your thoughts on the AI? Like, we've been speaking a lot, but like, what's your thoughts on the entire Ninja Kids situation?
I think maybe we should have foreseen that this was going to be a tiny bit of a mess because of how little we'd heard of it and how little we'd seen of what was going on over there. I think it's damning when the promo for the Power Rangers being in Fortnite looks like it was made with more care than an actual quasi-production.
That's the crazy part. I 1,000% agree with you that out of all the things in the world, and people can make fun of Fortnite all they want, look, Fortnite put a lot of care into that. They even released the, and I know we'll circle back around that later in the show, but they even released like the making of stuff. And it's like, bros, they built their Megazord even from the ground up. Like, yeah, Ninja Kids, guess what? You should be criticized for this. And if you don't like being criticized, you shouldn't have considered the slop in the first place. Sucks to suck.
So in other news, Disney has partnered with the studios Cake and MGA Entertainment to air the first two seasons of Armored Swords globally. Now, normally, what Disney's up to isn't really something that we would care about. It's based off the 2021 South Korean television series Armored Swords, developed by Day One. And here's where, you know, might sound, stop me if you've heard some of this before. The titular robotic dinosaurs are machines piloted by humans who, in the new series, must defend Earth from a monstrous alien invasion trying to resurrect its prehistoric army, which sounds like a great concept for a Power Rangers series.
Huh, how did you, oops, Almighty Morphin in my show again? Gosh darn it!
Well, I remember, this reminds me, like, in mid-2000s, there was some, like, Deke show or whatever that shamelessly ripped off Power Rangers Dino Thunder, and Disney didn't really do anything about that. So it's ironic that they're doing something, or they're involved in something that sounds so much like Power Rangers now.
It's coming for full circle.
But at the same time, you know, Disney Plus is going to be airing, or streaming, I should say, the series that's in development from the Percy Jackson guys.
That's right.
But MGA is known as a company behind Bratz, Little Tykes, etc. They have a bunch of IPs, and they're going to be launching like Armor Swords toys, digital content, lifestyle products, and games. But I think the aspect that's interesting is how it's going to blend anime and live action storytelling. And you wonder, first off, that makes me think of that Renaissance Atlantic Sailor Moon. But, you know, makes me wonder if that could have potentially been some kind of path for Power Rangers, not a fully animated series, because that would kind of rob some of the magic, but a partially animated series, though, keep, you know, I don't think I've seen a trailer for Armored Swords per se, so I don't know like exactly what parts are and aren't animated.
Yeah.
But the cast includes at least one name I've heard before, Michael Dorn, who was Worf on Trek.
Cool.
And yeah, it'll feature music by the K-pop act Tomorrow X Together, who I have not heard of.
I mean, hey, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And also Fortnite. Power Rangers in Fortnite now. The whole team, the Megazord, Rita. They got Barbara Goodson to do Rita. They got some rando to do Zed, whatever. And sounds great. And obviously she still sounds like Rita. I don't play Fortnite, so I don't really know anything more than that.
I do. I play Fortnite. Uma, do you play Fortnite?
I don't even have Epic Game Store on my PC.
Okay, I'm sorry that I feel like I've dominated the conversation the entire
live stream
so far. So,
I'd be happy if my daughter played Fortnite, just because it'd be something different other than Roblox.
And Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Whoa, one step at a time.
So everyone was, there was rumors, okay? If we go back 2 months ago, there was rumors that Power Rangers was about to be added into Fortnite based on like a lot of like, I think, data mining. Lo and behold, we got a trailer and it was tied into the season of like the bugs are invading like the Fortnite world. And all hope is lost, and all of a sudden, just like in the trailer, you see the Power Rangers teleport in, and literally, you start playing as the Power Rangers. So in the initial Power Rangers, like, first couple of, I don't want to say season for it, but, like, the first part of the battle pass. You got the original Core Rangers. You got their morphing stance, like with a morpher. If you used a non-Power Ranger with it, you got like the pinata as the power coin. You got morphing poses. You could unlock the Green Ranger and the White Ranger as extra skins. And the Green Ranger had the Dragon Dagger, which was fantastic. White Ranger has the Tiger Zord as its like parachute drop into the map. So basically there was a lot of that, and there was features with the bugs on like what you would do with the bugs, but a lot of it was just skins, right? And one of it, I want to say it was a Ranger Outpost was one as well, but I've honestly like was not sure if that was something that was like exclusive to Power Rangers or if that was something that was exclusive to like the new map. So the first half of the season was basically unlock the skins, have fun as the Power Rangers. Then the second half was around, I want to say the end of September, they released the second part, which was if you played similar seasons to Fortnite, you would get the big like super boss that you could claim as. So for Power Rangers, it was the Megazord. And earlier seasons, it was you could play as Godzilla with his atomic breath or Superman. And flying around and literally punching people off the map. We got the Megazord, and the Megazord had a couple things of, like, stepping on people, swinging the Power Sword, and, swinging the Power Sword, and actually, surprisingly, which I was shocked at, okay, it actually used the cannons on its back as an actual attack. I'm like, wow, we had this even less in the show than in Fortnite. I'm surprised this was used.
Yeah, but, never like you never really think about the cannons. They've also got Ron Wasserman's music. Credit to Ron Wasserman.
Yes, I forgot about that. Thank you for bringing that up, because as part of the season pass, because yes, it did cost to get the Power Rangers, but I mean, it's Fortnite. Y'all should expect that. He went and re-recorded all of the music for it, and it was
isn't it just the Redux
great.
Stuff?
As far as I'm aware, it is, but I think it is like newly recorded. The way he made
newly recorded everything for that album.
Yeah, right? I really think it was all. It was the Redux, but it was like new for Endgame.
It was a re-Redux.
Yeah. So basically, though, what happened was in season or the second half of the season, after like about 50 combatants left. You would hear Rita go, magic wand, make my monster grow, and the Bug Queen would appear. And the only way you can beat the Bug Queen, because that thing is a boss, is you run to the Megazord, which is really cool because they had the Megazord in the sky actually form. The Triceratops would turn into the leg.
That's cool.
It was so stinking cool. And then you would run, then it would fly down, right? So then you had to race to Zordon, who was in front of the Megazord, to be able to pilot the Megazord. And once you got into it, you got like a little cutscene that was like, here comes the Megazord, as, you know, it would load up, and then you would go fight the Queen. There was no way to lose to the Queen, really, unless you just did not pay attention to the Queen. And you just went up there, hit her with the sword, hit her with the cannons. But what was cool was, if you were piloting the Megazord, if you beat the Queen, it did have a finisher of the Power Sword charging up with the lightning and slamming down and hitting the Bug Queen. And you would get some medals based on that. For here's the flip side. If you did not get the Megazord, Rita did give you enhanced weapons and medals to blow up the Megazord. That is a way more difficult task because the Megazord was just, it was just so stupid to play as. I'm not going to lie. That was my mission for all 1 week that the Megazord, I think 1 week or 2 weeks the Megazord was available, was you started to figure out where it was going to land at. And I was, I think I got it about 75% of the time. One of my favorite all-time stories is there's a base called the OXR base, which is basically, think like a gun brand. It's their military brand or whatever. And I got to the Megazord, was already beating up on all of the people and, or the boss. And then I turned my attention to most who were already hiding in other areas. One guy decided he wanted to fire at me with his missiles from the warehouse. Well, what they don't tell you is the Megazord can destroy those actual structures. So I walked over there and I started like swiping my sword and everything. And he built some structure in the warehouse. I went, bro, this ain't gonna work. So I did what every intelligent person would have done. I stepped on the warehouse and I killed him. With my Megazord foot. You get the Megazord. It is a little time-based with it. It's no longer available, yeah. But on the map, the Power Sword is there. So you are able to see, like, it was an event, essentially. But it was very fun. The only thing Megazord now is, like, if you got the skins, the unlockable Megazord skin and the black and gold skin. But I gotta tell y'all, gosh, it was so much fun to play as the Megazord. It's really fun playing as a Power Ranger, especially when you go up to people with other skins and stuff. Like, yes, you see some of it so staged online, but other people, we'd work together as a Power Ranger go through, and then once it finally came down to it, yes, we would try to kill each other. I know people formed Power Ranger squads and would go take on team squads, and they would get the Megazord. It was fun, guys. Like, I cannot describe how much my joy was playing the Megazord and or killing people with Lord Zedd. That was really fun, too, of just annihilating people with Lord Zedd. And, yeah, I could go on and on, but that's kind of the gist of it. Of part one was getting the Power Ranger skins, hoping you can unlock Tommy, Green, and White as the alternative one, and getting the Megazord, or getting the Power Ranger, the like the wallpapers and the Megazord stuff. And then part two was actually playing as the Megazord. I think the only problem with the season was the medals were a great concept, which were supposed to be like air quote power coins, but they were so OP that they actually took the medals out about either a quarter or a halfway through the season because it actually tanked the numbers. The flip side of it was the Power Ranger, to get an idea, and I know I'm going on and on, but to get an idea, too, of how popular the Power Ranger skins are, they're all in the top 1,000 of skins sold. Tommy is in the top 500. That is incredible when you realize there's about 3,000 skins, and what are being used, what is actually being used in-game. Tommy is the first one, and I believe Jason and Kimberly are the other two. Zach and Trini are in the top 1,000, and then Billy like is the very last one.
When you think about playing Fortnite as Power Rangers, is a pretty cool proposition.
Oh, It totally is. And just thematically, it was very, very, very fun to just go around and be like, oh, I'm defending against the bugs. The hard part was not being able to do the missions, like taking down some of the super mini bosses, because people were just killing you instead of, like, I wish there was an option to work together. There was more objective stuff. But it was so fun to play as a Power Ranger. I actually won. I'm still working Lord Zedd, but I have won Battle Royales with the Power Rangers, with each individual skin. It's not hard, but it's like you very much have to be present in the moment and know what items you're using. I will say, too, what was really fun playing as the Megazord, too? Because they have vehicles. Hitting a helicopter and yelling, "Four!" as the helicopter just goes out of control and explodes, or stepping on a car that's trying to, like, fire at you, that was very fun as a Megazord as well. That was incredibly fun. So that was kind of like the entire rundown of the Power Ranger stuff. The skins aren't available right now in the store as of November 10th, but they'll bring them back around. I wouldn't be surprised if they have another season, maybe with some other stuff, maybe with the other Megazords, but it does seem like it could be something. But who knows? They'll be back in the store. At least the skins are. I can't guarantee other events. My last bit, and then I'm good. I'm good. Barbara did re-record all of her lines. She does sound like Rita, but you can definitely tell they were a little rough around the edges. And I'm like, oh, I can tell now that her voice and stuff it was not nearly as high-pitched anymore.
Well, I mean, that was kind of the case in Once and Always, too.
Correct. I would say it's even worse than Once and Always.
Could be, a matter of engineering, because her Rita voice demands a certain kind of microphone.
Correct. But it was still a joy, regardless. If I will stand by, I said it to both of y'all before, and I stand by that. It's ironic that outside of Rita's Rewind, this is the best Power Ranger game we've ever got, which is saying a lot. And it happened in Fortnite.
Well, I'm going to count on you to talk about something else. We mentioned Heroes of the Grid earlier. You said there's been a delay in the last set.
Yes. So moving from Fortnite to Heroes of the Grid. So for everyone who doesn't know, Heroes of the Grid is having one last big hurrah closeout sale, essentially. If you haven't bought any of your Heroes of the Grid set stuff, better buy them now. They're not getting reprinted. That also includes the cards. That being said, they also had a Kickstarter for the last set. Due to tariffs, due to all the shenanigans that are happening, we were supposed to get Heroes of the Grid in hand roughly-ish around this week. That is not the case now. As far as I'm aware, Heroes of the Grid is now being pushed to next year being shipped out. I believe the reason was in the email was it's going to be cheaper to put it on cargo ships versus I think maybe they have flights and everything before now. The exact wording was, "We'll break the bad news first, Rangers. Pledges will not be coming before the end of the year as we originally anticipated. There was an issue with the first run of cards that comes with the expansion, and we want this to be as polished and high quality as possible, so we've had to ask the factory to reprint all the cards correctly. This puts us on track to ship in January, which has the bonus of being after all the holiday mailing is done. It's not ideal, but we're dedicated to ending Heroes of the Grid with an expansion that's full of quality and love that every other expansion has had. The good news is you don't need to wait until January to start playing because they're doing some of the PDF stuff. But the other part is the shipping. That's the big part. So my guess is we may not even see these in hand, like in the States and stuff, until at least February, because it's got to get to the coast, it's got to get shipped, or it's got to be sorted out, and then start flying everywhere else. And I believe the U.S., it's the extreme, it's either the West Coast or the East Coast that gets it. So for Heroes of the Grid, hey, that's another couple months wait, guys. It'll get here eventually, but don't count on it before the end of the year. It's a bummer, but hey, once it's here, we'll all have to plan some game nights or something.
I'd be down for that.
It'll be fun.
So continuing on, Olivia Dumont has departed Hasbro Entertainment, where he was the president. He joined Hasbro Entertainment, staying on after the sale of Entertainment One, where he was an executive. He was heavily involved in Power Rangers. He said in a post on LinkedIn, he is exploring, quote, new opportunities to build, lead, and create at Hasbro. He continued to oversee entertainment properties, including Peppa Pig, and was presumably involved in the work with 20th Television to get Power Rangers on the air. His resume included stops at SIP Animation, which was once part of Saban, worked with Disney, Canal J, Europe Images International, and other companies that we probably, you know, are less familiar with. So according to his post, he said, what makes me proudest isn't just the shows or films we delivered, but the everlasting memories we created for children and families all over the world. He goes on to say he is deeply grateful to the many colleagues, creators, partners, and friends who shared this adventure with me, and always treasure being part of an industry where play wasn't just what we made, it was our purpose. So, yeah, that's from the Hollywood Reporter. No idea where he's going next, but we wish him luck. Also, I hate this trend of us having to have an obituary section here, but it is what it is. Drew Struzan, who was a poster artist. He did posters for all the Star Wars movies, for most of the Star Wars movies, I should say, as well as a bunch of Spielberg movies like the Indiana Jones trilogy, Back to the Future. He died on October 13th, I should say, after a battle with Alzheimer's. Where he fits in with Power Rangers is SPD didn't have a poster, didn't have anything like that to distribute or promote, yada, yada, yada. So Greg Aronowitz turned to his friend Drew Struzan, and he ran off a bunch of posters for SPD, and these things were beautiful and really did the cast and the show a great amount of dignity. Have you guys seen the poster I'm talking about? Let me try to pull it up real quick. I know this is great audio. So Greg Aronowitz wrote on Instagram a tribute to Drew Struzan, saying that he was fortunate to have known him as the man beyond the artistry. To me, he was an icon, a mentor, a father, a partner, a hype man, and a friend. He encouraged me to shoot for my wildest dreams and backed every play I made to achieve them. Sometimes he would call me when he needed reference. Sometimes he would call me to see how progress is going in my projects. Sometimes he would call just to talk about life and love and art. His voice was calm and soothing. He always chose his words carefully and meant what he said. And he went on to say in a subsequent post that Drew couldn't believe that Disney wasn't going to do any promotional art that featured the likenesses of my phenomenal cast. They only ever showed fully suited Power Rangers. So he created this art for Greg to give to the cast and crew and everyone else who worked on the show. He sold a few at Power Morphicon, and I'm happy to have one. Let me actually put it in our chat so you can appreciate it.
I mean, it's a great piece.
It is. It is. And we're also mourning the loss of one of our own. Adam Ramosevich, who is probably better known the Phantom as Lil Adam 87, died suddenly in Las Vegas in September after suffering a medical emergency. He was all over the fandom. I didn't get a chance to know him very well, but
I didn't either, but based on like what people said, it seems like he was a really good dude. A good egg.
Yeah. I didn't get to know him very well, but I have friends who knew him very well, who like Eric Berry from Ranger Command. This really was gutting for him. He was a great fan. He was a great member of the community. And he was a selfless member of the community, including his real life community, where he was an active volunteer for several different organizations. He was active with Toku Nation. He would commission his favorite comic artists to get unique works and would make sure to, you know, he lived life to the fullest. And it was such a gutting loss. In his real life, he'd worked for nearly a decade at Mass General in Brigham, and had worked recently been promoted to project control manager there. So he was 38 years old, and the family has asked that donations can be made in his memory to the New England Brain Tumor Walk at braintumor.org. So this is such a gutting loss. He, you know, again, you know, we know all these people vicariously, but you know, you never get a chance to really know them as well as you wish you should. You could.
Just a reminder to always be grateful for each day and just take give it 100%. If you're ever like what's it called? Always get like your checkups and everything and stuff as well.
Always say the thing. Always tell people you love them.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to take a break, take a breath, refresh, reload, and we will be back with our big story of the episode. I'd like to take a moment to tell you about Entertainment Earth. They carry tens of thousands of licensed products covering everything from Power Rangers to Pokemon, Ultraman to Iron Man. And for RangerCast listeners, you can get 10% off your order and free shipping on any order, $79 and up. Just go to ee.toys/ranger. That's ee.toys/ranger. Or click the link in our show notes. RangerCast may receive a commission from your purchase.
Coffee!
Yeah. Okay, let me...
Again, I apologize for dominating the conversation.
No, you're good. I'll be right back. Let me grab...
It's better than me running my mouth.
I just feel like I was like, Fortnite, I played the entire season. I had opinions. The Ninja Kid stuff, I've had a lot of opinions on that one. Ultimately, it's just bros, you fucked up, and
okay. Doubling
down is not good.
Okay, let me know when you're all ready again.
I'm ready right now, but I know Greg stepped away for a sec.
Yeah.
Ah, all right, I'm back.
Okay.
Lies and slander.
Carl, go.
All right.
Real fast. Did you see? Tyler, that Ranger Stop is getting Sally.
Yeah, I did. I can't make it. You know, like I beat Anime and Jay too, but it's like I'm going to Japan soon, so I gotta.
You know what's crazy?
What?
And this is the insane part. So you're both getting some insider information. I'm surprised Sally signed with that talent agency, because that talent agency is known to stiff their actors, and going so far as that, and to stiff the convention itself, what it's due, so much that I'm aware that they were served court papers at a con recently because they tried to escape out of the United States from paying fees, and they got them at the con. So I'm surprised Sally is associating herself with them. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, maybe, you know, I think whatever, you know, age she signs with, I'm not sure it matters that much, because, like, if she, like, the considering that she probably has 1,000 other things to do, she's probably not going to be doing a bunch of stateside cons. She's only available because she's not in Shortland Street anymore.
I mean it more of her signing with this talent agency when they don't pay. That's a big red flag.
Yeah.
That's what I mean it as.
But I like maybe I'll go to Ranger Stop next year because Power Morph Con is a bad time for me. It's like between classes, my first, like right after my first week of class. And it's also around time on my girlfriend's birthday. And I promised her that I would not be out doing shit when it's her birthday again. So I may have to skip Power Morph Con this year.
Oh, that sucks. But happy girlfriend, happy wife, happy life. But
yeah, that's all right. So let's get back to it.
Sir.
All right. And we're back. Now, as we've kind of been hinting at throughout the episode, there was some seismic news coming out of the production of number one Sentai Gojuju. This is complicated. I'm going to try to find the straightest way through it. And there's a user on Twitter who seemed to have found the straightest way to explain. So I'm going to paraphrase them. Maya Imamori plays, or till recently, played Goju Unicorn Sumino on Gojuju. She was let go after her agency, Seju, reported to Toei and TV Asahi that she had been found to be drinking underage. She is 19. The drinking age in Japan is 20. Subsequently, Seju terminated her contract, and so doing terminated the contract that they had with the production for her services. And as a result, consequentially, everything involving her had to be hastily edited out of the 37th episode of Gojuju, which thankfully was not an episode that involved her a ton anyway. It looks like it would have involved her a ton. It was a focus on Mashiro and Goju Polar. But the episode that was to air this weekend, as we record this, would have been a Sumino focus episode, according to a promo that mistakenly went out on TV Asahi's satellite channel. So Toei is scrambling, apparently, because they can't show Imamori, they can't use stock footage, they can't use her voice. The opening was edited like big time to remove any trace of her. She was not credited, so they have to toss at least a few episodes worth of things they had filmed, rewrite it, go back to the drawing board, and Sentai, I mean, COVID is maybe close during Kira Major, but Sentai hasn't had to do something like this since Bioman. And that was when they had the benefit of being able to use the actor's image. They're just in a really impossible situation. I mean, they have insurance, all that, but it seems like the bulk of the pain is really being felt by her former co-stars, who now have to go into reshoots and cancel other things they got going on without any time to process what happened to Maya Imamori. There's been, this didn't come out of nowhere with Imamori. She's been the target of a campaign by the Japanese tabloid Bunshin, which has accused her of sleeping with an older male cast member. And there have been campaigns based on her, against her, based on her ethnicity. She is Hafu. She's half Filipino. But other, like, Sentai alums seem to be taking this at face value, that the drinking is why she was fired. And it's not unusual for action like this to be taken in cases like this. So, yeah, it's a lot. What do you guys think about all this?
I personally think, now this is an American speaking on Japanese, so we're going to take this with a grain of salt, and I hope I don't come off as too Eurocentric, I guess would be the word. I think it's nucking futz. I think it's stupid. Yeah, underage drinking is a no-no, as it is over here. But wasn't she like 4 months away from or so from being legal age? And
that doesn't matter.
And I agree, but it's still stupid. And Bunshin, from my knowledge, has been on her since the beginning. They never liked her, and they were always looking for something. Again, if it's a consensual relationship, it's nobody's business on who she's sleeping with, so long as it's done behind closed doors and everything is hunky-dory with everybody involved. It's none of their business. I understand the Japanese have a bit more... I don't want to say the word puritanical, because I don't think that's the right word, but that's the only one that's coming to mind right now.
I mean, there have been times when Bunshin has actually been early to something. Like, for example, they were reporting on stuff going on with Johnny Kitagawa 20 years before anybody else.
It's hit or miss with some, like, from my understanding, they're a tabloid, right? They're no different. They're not much different from, like, the National Enquirer.
No. Well, tabloid, that can mean a lot of different things. It's they do investigative reporting. They reported on Tetsuya Kono's adultery. That was something that, again, that was legitimate. But they also got on the case of Komuro Kei, who married the former Princess Mako. And that, like, his family really was bearing the brunt of a lot of tabloid scrutiny. So this stuff is not, like, I would maybe compare Shukan Bunshin to sort of TMZ if it also reported on politics.
Odd mix, but I think I get it.
It's kind of the equivalent of, I would say, like, when JDF passed away. It's like, do you want TMZ to be the first one to break it? No, but are they credible? Yes, type of deal.
Mm.
In 2016, they reported on an affair that the musician Enon Kawatani had with the Taranto Becky. That really tanked her career, his career not so much.
I mean, that if that does kind of match the cultural stuff of Japan, where in some aspects they're not prudish, but in other respect there is definitely a gap between men and women's rights, and that kind of seems pretty spot on.
Prudish was a much better word, thank you.
Yeah.
Than the one I had. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Now, for her part, Imamori-san said in a statement on Instagram, "I would like to offer my sincere apologies for the trouble and concern caused to so many people due to my thoughtless actions. Drinking alcohol while underage is extremely shameful, both as a member of society and as a human being, is unacceptable for any reason. I'm keenly aware of the gravity of my actions and deeply regret them. I would like to once again apologize to all the fans who have supported me, everyone involved, and all the productions and co-stars I've appeared in for the great trouble I've caused. Through this incident, I've reflected on my own immaturity, taken seriously the fact that I betrayed those who trusted me, and will sincerely re-examine my way of life so that this will never happen again. I'm truly sorry for this." And the writer, Oliver Gia, Kyoto-based writer, pointed out when a fan claimed this was disproportionate what's happening to her, pointed out that, you know, regardless of whether these allegations are true, Japan, quote, Japan takes such things seriously, especially if you're involved with kids shows. Full ethnically Japanese actors have gotten in trouble for similar things. And there's a thread. You can argue that the Japanese entertainment world is too strict and the laws in general here are too strict. But at the same time, the small stuff being enforced is why it doesn't escalate into large issues. Either way, Japan has a very different cultural mentality towards things in the West. You can't change that because it's something ingrained into the fabric of society. The U.S. has things others find weird too, and those aren't changing either. This is why I tell people that if you want to live in Japan, you have to accept the things you can't change. Every country is going to have its trade-offs, and where you live is based on what you're willing to put up with. Sometimes you can't have your cake and eat it too. And I think that goes to a problem I've had with some fans. They're judging this through an American lens. When, like, for example, Nobuhiro Watsuki, the mangaka of Rurouni Kenshin, got busted for child pornography, paid a sizable fine, and then went right back to making Rurouni Kenshin. That's the law there. That's how they treat child pornography there. And we can raise an eyebrow, but Japan has the right to make its own laws and have its own standards and have its own culture. Even if we think a reaction to what Mai Imamori did is way overboard, when other people like Toru Furuya or, you know, Eron Kawatami can do certain things and not suffer no consequences, but suffer less consequence, fewer consequences than if they were women.
I mean, we could, using the Rurouni Kenshin example, though, that could be a cultural thing all it wants to be, doesn't make it right. Like, that. I'm sorry, there is no acceptance, no middle ground for that. I mean, I'm going to offer a very spicy take. Yes, underage drinking is a problem. It's an underage drinking problem here in the United States. It's a problem worldwide. That said, can we just all be honest that it was probably them not wanting her on the show? Because underage drinking isn't a problem until it's a problem.
Like, well, I think this wasn't Toei pulling her from the show. This was her agency pulling her from her agency.
I'm meaning it more of like, we treat, and until only recently, and I guess the 80s isn't recently, but until like underage, like driving under the influence with all the moms against drunk driving, it's still even today treated as a slap on the wrist unless you drink and drive at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a problem until it's a problem. Like, we've been fighting that battle for years. Like, this should not be a cultural norm of, like, going to college and getting drunk. You're underage. Yeah.
I feel like if Toei had it in for her, then they would not have written and shot a whole Focus episode just to dump it. Before tonight, I actually watched the most recent episode of Gojuju, 37, and I could feel while watching it, like I could smell the editor sweating.
Yeah.
They gave her practically the full Poochie treatment. She doesn't, like, they cropped her out, edited her out of every shot in which she would otherwise have appeared, until the third act, when she just turns up out of nowhere, in suit. Any lines that Sumino has or voiced by it sounded like, but because of the way they edited it, she only really, aside from grunts, really has just like one line. I think they were very lucky that the episode that they had to edit was one that looks like it was very easy to edit her out of, but really nearly every trace of her is gone in this episode. And there was no, in the version that originally aired, there was no like next time trailer. Like I said, the tease that did go out was kind of by mistake. Somebody posted on Twitter, but it's already been struck. And people are comparing this episode from the Next Time trailer that aired last week and kind of forensically figuring out, like what shots she was erased from and how, at least from the ones that were shown in the teaser.
So I'm not savvy on Sentai. I will be outright upfront on that. There are many other things in my life that I have to be worried about.
That's why we haven't really talked about Sentai a ton, because we're all busy people.
Yes.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask both of you is, like, concerning Sentai itself, for it, how major of a role was she in the actual, like, what's it called? The series. Like, was she, like, one of the core Rangers, or was she just like kind of a major side character?
She was one of the core five.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And she was about to get her Tega Sword power up. She was about to get her power up form.
Right. And, yeah.
In that focus episode, and that's not happening. Now, I did allude to this last time that the show was in a position like this was in Bioman. Where the actress who played the Yellow Ranger just kind of dipped, and they dedicated a whole episode to killing her off.
So here's my second question then, because she is a core member, and I am unsure of the process. Why not just kick? Why kick her off? Why not just recast her and just continue the story?
She, for a couple reasons. One, she has a pretty significant plot line going on. But on that note, they could take, and I'm trying not to be too spoilerish, but I'm going to roll with it anyway. Just fair warning, and I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to start talking about it right about now. She has a sister that they could probably use to take her spot. But they had to scramble
solution.
That would be. And that, but the problem is the sister doesn't know she's her sister. So there's a whole story thing going on where, and but they had to scramble for this week's episode because it's already shot and edited and done that. They basically had a oh crap moment and they were scrambling to get it done.
Gotcha.
So I haven't seen the new episode yet. I'll see it tomorrow, so I'll know better then. But I'm very curious as how they're going to replace the fifth Sentai.
That's what I was going to say, is why not just recast her, and then that way you're not losing your story, unless that's like a cultural, like, taboo type of thing. It's like, well, okay, I get it, I guess.
They would need to find somebody fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Or go with the sister. The sister one would also be kind of like, it would make sense. Like, she was killed or something. Like, just have, maybe even like have her Megazord or something blow up, however it is, and then the sister replaces. I feel like there's solutions.
They did temporarily replace the yellow one. And then the replacement got poochied. Literally.
What's poochied?
I think what makes it difficult is that they can't even use stock footage. They're doing this with two hands tied behind their backs.
See, and that's so weird because, like, I'd assume in, like, American stuff, like, they own that stock footage. They could if they wanted to.
Right, but the system in Japan is different.
Right.
They're essentially leasing this person or likeness from the agency.
Right. That part I understand, where it's like, man, that's actually something America has done right. It's like, no, we own the right to this. We can finish this.
There's
now.
No real, like, union for the actors, so you know, they're not getting a lot of sleep right now, and they're not getting paid very well.
That's where Power Rangers is the same.
I think Yohan Saban's probably out there wishing he filmed in Japan.
Probably. And you asked what getting poochied is?
Yeah.
It's a reference to a show within The Simpsons called The Itchy and Scratchy Show. And they temporarily, in the show, they introduced a character called Poochie. So it was the Itchy
Homer
and Scratchy
and Poochie
show. And because for some reason, Homer did such a bad job. I don't remember the specific episode. They cut Poochie out real quick. And there was just a sign on the screen that said, Poochie went back to his home planet and died on the way there. That's all I got.
Well, the way it was done, it's like the animation stops cold and somebody with a totally different voice says, I have to go now. My planet needs me. And you see the Poochie cell just be pulled off up the screen and said, Poochie died on his way back to his home planet.
So that's where those jokes come from. Okay.
Yes.
I'm on the same page now. Okay.
And what made it even funnier, because the yellow replacement in Goes Huger was almost exactly Poochie. Like, he was an alien, and then he was there for like two episodes, got in trouble for something, and then disappeared. That was it. He got picked up by his spaceship and he went left.
His home planet needed him.
But yeah, that's where Poochie comes from, and it's funny how that came back, what, almost 20 years later? Like, it's been a thing.
Well, it's a meme. It's a, you know, verified meme at this point.
You know, people have told me I need to watch the original Simpsons because my parents refused to let me watch it. This sounds like something that would have been right up my alley. Like, yep. The good Simpsons, I was told.
Then after
Krusty brings on a lawyer to verify a sworn affidavit that promises Poochie will never, ever, ever return.
Oh, I miss.
Wow.
I miss when the Simpsons was good.
I'll take decent. You know what? I'll take it to where if I was watching it, my mother would have been upset with me.
It's fun. My mom never knew I watched South Park, but Simpsons was, yeah, they would have known.
Nowadays, South Park is so tame compared to what it used to be.
Yep.
Really? I think they still got their fastball now and then.
I mean, in recent episodes, they found it, but I lost interest.
Yeah.
The South Park episodes are always the funniest when you realize it's not about the kids anymore. It's about Randy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's funnier when you realize that.
So this whole thing with Imamori has like broken containment to an extent. And it's really just a whole big ass mess. And my heart just breaks for her, you know, like here she is. She's a young actress just starting out. And now she's blacklisted in actor jail for who knows how long just because of one drink. I mean, yeah, I know different cultural standards, all that, but she got the whole rest of her life ahead of her, and I hope she has some sense of the outpouring of love and support for her, if not in Japan, though there is some in Japan, internationally. And it's a bummer that because of how this went down, she'll be denied the sort of second act that you see these actors getting later on. And the fact that this really kind of taints any discussion of what's otherwise been a very successful year.
Especially it being, so air quotes, the last Sentai.
Such as it is.
Yeah. I hate to put it this way. I hope she has viable backup career plans, because I think acting is done for her, at least in Japan.
I would give it also. Yeah. I'd also say, too, that how do I want to say this politely? Yes, it was just one drink, and kids are going to be kids, because that's what she is. She's a kid. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, knowing it, you know. You just know. Like, yes, societal pressure, blah, 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 but, like, they willingly did it. They were not forced to just be on their thing, like, gun to your face, you will take this drink. That wasn't the case. Like,
I mean, I just imagine, you know, I'm not sure how many episodes Koichi Sakamoto is directing the season, but I imagine if they need something done fast at Toei, he's the one they call.
I feel like, too, they also have, like, some wiggle room since it is the last Sentai. Like, they're not on a timetable. Like, oh, dear goodness, we have to get this next one done, like, now before the next Sentai. No, I don't think they have that. So, yeah. It's sad, in my opinion, either way for it. I wish, regardless if it's Japan, the United States, whatever, I wish there was better social system to be like, dudes, there's a reason why. And, like, unfortunately, sometimes one mistake can impact you for the rest of your life. Sometimes it's drunk driving, obviously. For over there, though, it's you had alcohol, even though you were 4 months, that's still not legal drinking age. You should have known better.
All right, well, we're going to keep monitoring the story because it seems to be moving quickly. Hopefully I can get this episode out before other scandals break. Hopefully I can get it out before I go to Japan on the 23rd. I'm going to have tons of fun. Going to check out that Sentai restaurant if I can in Ikebukuro and spend way too much money on stuff I don't need.
I am curious, since you're going to Japan, are you going to try to go to the Sentai Museum? The one that's like the traveling exhibit?
That is in, I don't know where that is. I know there's the museum in Kyoto where I went there in 2010, but that's all the way in Kyoto.
Oh,
I need to check the schedule of all that stuff and see if there's anything in Tokyo besides the restaurant.
Because I want to say it was the... Unless it's the same one I'm thinking of, this is supposedly, I think, a traveling museum that has
in Tokyo. It was in Tokyo, and then it left.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'm out of luck on that. But if I find it, I'll let you know.
Sure, because if so, like, you may be getting some money to bring me something back.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, thanks so much for listening, everybody, and we will see you next time on RangerCast.
Bye, everybody.
Have a good time, everybody.
If you like what you just heard, find us at rangercast.net or look us up in your favorite podcast app, and be sure to leave a review. That's the best way to help more people discover the show. You can also find us on X, Facebook, and now Blue Sky. Our opening theme is by Daniel Park. The ending theme is by me. RangerCast is distributed under Creative Commons license, attribute, and share alike.